Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. My co-host, Dr. Les Olala, is away today, but in his place, I have the privilege of having as a guest host, Rebecca Pettit. And Rebecca, you were on the broadcast some time ago on your way over to Israel.
That's right.
Where you were doing some studies.
And I'm done. I just finished my studies Thanksgiving.
And you actually, you got a master's degree from
all of
this. I
did. I got a master's in Middle Eastern culture and religion.
A master's in Middle Eastern culture and religion. Now, you're going to have to remind us how you came up with the idea to even do this, because that's not normal. I mean, that's not what the normal person graduating from college thinks.
Well, when I went to Northland, I actually graduated from Northland in 2003, and I thought about what else I could do to understand the Bible. We were told here at Northland to understand the original context, mm-hmm. and I took that literally and moved to Israel.
I was going to say, not a whole lot of people do that, Becca.
It's just my next step. I thought that was the most logical way to go, and always been interested in the land, but went there searching, trying to understand the context of Scripture in a greater way. And I really walked away with, I think, a broader understanding of, I would say, the context of Scripture. I went there for that purpose, and I got that.
Now, I know your mom and dad must have been a little worried about sending you all the way over there. How did they deal with that, or how did
Actually,
you help them deal with that?
They mentioned to me they weren't really worried about my safety at all, and I said, maybe you should be. I'm just kidding, but they're a little bit, I don't know, they let me do things in that realm that I think some parents probably wouldn't, but we discuss more our spiritual walk opposed to my safety,
right.
So typical mom and dad.
Now, you were over there for 2 years?
Two and a half.
2.5 years, mm-hmm. And you live right in Jerusalem, didn't you?
I lived about 100 yards outside of the old city walls, so. Mm.
So you got to walk and talk and interact with a whole lot of interesting people.
I always tell people that it's kind of strange that my favorite pizza place is in the same area as the Mount of Olives and where Jesus walked. And it's one of those realities that's so hard to understand when you mix the modern, normal, day-to-day life with the ancient, mysterious, biblical world.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that actually was one of the highlights, was having my own memories with the ancient memories.
So living in a present reality, but really being forced to consider the ancient truth every day.
Well, just walking down the street, you know, you see the Mount of Olives and the Hinnom Valley and the Kidron, mm-hmm. and, you know, you really can't forget about it. It's right there.
So how has that changed you? How has that affected you?
I actually think it has made my Christianity, my Christian walk, a bit more crystal clear. I think mm-hmm. when I went there, I was a believer, and I mean, I went to Bible college. It's not like I didn't love the Lord. I think going to Jerusalem cemented a lot of my own beliefs for me, which I don't know if that's always the case when you go to another country and see other things. But I think for me personally, it was exactly what God had for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you and your family became members at Brookside Baptist Church here recently.
Yes, we did.
And just for the sake of our listeners, because most of them have never been to Israel, most of the people in our church have never been to Israel. If you had an opportunity to sit down with them, what would you say to them would be the value of going to Israel if they had an opportunity to do it?
That's a good question. I think the first most obvious value is just seeing the land where Jesus walked. I think everyone I know that goes there as a Christian, that's the first thing they say. I think secondly, it helps anybody who goes to Israel visualize the Bible. The Bible is very real and tangible, and we know that living in America, but when you actually have to walk down the hill and then walk back up,
right.
It just becomes a little bit, I don't know, more real.
It goes from black and white to color.
Yeah, crystal color. It's just perfect.
Yeah.
It's just wonderful. And it helps you understand the Bible in a way that, I mean, I think of passages, and instead of just mystically putting them together, I really feel where I'm going in the next place, in the town, and why God used specific towns and specific valleys and how they do play a part together.
Wow. What are the people like? Is that a loaded question?
That's a loaded question. Israelis are very tenacious, very loving, and can be quite rude. Most of the Arabs that I know are incredibly hospitable, very, very friendly people.
So when you talk about the city of Jerusalem, I've always understood the city to have four quarters.
That's right. The Old City does.
Okay. Now, are there four distinct groups of people, or?
In the Old City, there's the Jewish quarter, the Armenian quarter, the Muslim quarter, and the Christian quarter. The Muslim and the Christian are obviously both Arab groups of people.
Okay.
Armenians are a group of Orthodox Christian, Eastern Orthodox Christians from Armenia. And then, of course, the Jewish quarter. So kind of four different kinds of people, but not really.
So the divisions would be more philosophical?
Well, the Jewish quarter is quite obviously Jewish,
right.
And that's a nation. Mm-hmm. And Armenian is religious, but the Christian quarter and the Armenian quarter could probably meld together. And then the Christian quarter and the Muslim quarter can kind of meld together because they're both Arabs.
Mm-hmm. What would you say as an American Baptist Christian in a church like Brookside, what should we be praying for Israel, for Jerusalem, for those people groups that you talked about?
God always says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and I believe that commandment lives today. I think the land itself is in a lot of turmoil right now since the parties of Hamas actually is a Palestinian party that just took over last year. Ehud Olmert, who is the prime minister, has been a secular leader and has not taken over for Ariel Sharon very well. I think the Israelis are disgruntled, frustrated, and the Palestinians are disgruntled and frustrated with their new leadership. So I think if you want to pray for something, pray for peace.
Because normally when we think of pray for the peace of Israel or pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we think primarily in terms of praying for the Jewish nation. But when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you're praying for a lot more than just Jewish people. You mentioned four groups there.
Right. Well, God is sovereign, and many, many different people are there. He knows that. I don't think he's unaware. I think there's Arabs there. There's Oriental Orthodox Christians there. There's Jews there. And, you know, living there, you have to that's a reality. That's not something you can just glance over or pretend is not there. You know, you shop with all the people, not just the Jews and not just the Arabs.
Let me ask this question, and I'm not sure even how to ask this question, so you may have to rework it in your thinking, Becca, but a lot of Christians go over there for tours. You know, I've taken tours over. I know your dad and I led tours together. So a lot of real believers go over to Jerusalem, and we have a lot of missions that happens to Jewish people outside of Jerusalem or outside of Israel even. But when it comes to the nation of Israel and particularly the city of Jerusalem, you being there for 2.5 years, what kind of genuine Christian presence did you find there?
Well, the Christian population in Israel is 1%, and that includes all faiths, Orthodox, Catholic, Protestants. As far as I know, there are 2 or 3, maybe 4 fundamental churches in the whole country. I have found the most genuine Christian presence comes through Jewish Christian or through Muslim Christian dialogue. That sounds on the surface to be very liberal. But in fact, I've actually been part of a Jewish Christian dialogue for the last 2 years, that I've had more opportunities to share my faith in that dialogue freely without any problems, without any kind of hostility, or it's against the law to proselytize, so any kind of problem there in that setting than I have in any other way. Christians tend to come there and kind of wear the T-shirt. And most Jewish people and Arab people, Muslims included, don't really understand that kind of religion. So I've just found genuineness on that individual level.
When you think about you're wrapping up your experience in Israel, what's the next step for you?
Well, I have for a long time now wanted to go into film. I am pursuing that right now. I'm in the middle of 2 projects. One is a children's video. My brother is 18, and he is the host.
Stephen
is the host of a new children's video about India. My dad and my brother and then Will Galkin, we all went to India this last November. And so we shot kind of a Croc Hunter / Discovery Channel / missions video.
Now, for many of our listeners would not be familiar with your dad. Your dad is an evangelist, Steve Pettit, and I know he's come to Brookside a number of times, but then your brother Stephen is 18.
Stephen is 18 years old, and he's still in high school. He has one more semester before he graduates.
So that's kind of a major step of faith for you.
He did a good job. He did a good job. I think I probably would have cut him off early had he not worked hard.
So now the video that you're doing, particularly the children's video, give us an idea of the format.
It's shot on location, so we're all in India. We have segments of snakes and segments of elephants, and also we have a lot of footage of the services. What I'd like to do is combine all of that to give the children a sense that they're actually in India serving with us, and when they leave the video, for them to really have a burden for India. When I was a child, the most impacting sermons or illustrations were always slideshows or mm-hmm. small video clips, you know, back then it was reels, of mm-hmm. what was going on. And the mission's emphasis always hit me visually. And so I took that idea and kind of am transplanting it into this video.
How do you see this video being used?
I just like it to be in the home. I think that children nowadays are very visual. Communication is important. TV is around. TV is a reality in our world, so is the internet. And mm-hmm. I think we should use those realities for our faith and for Christianity.
Sure. Now, the second video that you're doing?
It's not a video. It's a series. It's called Friends of the Faith. I got the idea while I was in India. The missionary we were with is Matthew Thomas. He's, 75 years old. He is a character. He's a great man. He's got a great personality, and he's been serving the Lord for a long time. I think while we were there, I felt like I should capture this man's story. And so Will Galkin and I just did a 45-minute interview. From that interview has kind of come this idea that we should really share our faith, and not just our faith, but people who have been in the faith for years, just serving the Lord, and just hearing their stories.
You actually described it to me before the broadcast in a way that was pretty captivating. You talked about being a girl sitting on the front step.
I grew up on the road. We used a trailer, and there's a little step where you really don't notice anybody, and I sat there. That was my spot. My parents had pastors come over every week. We'd have new meetings, and I would hear all of their stories. And when I went to college, there was a lot of there's a lot of frustration with the older generation, and I think that the people I talked to often, I thought, I think if they had heard the stories mm-hmm. behind these men, I don't know if they'd be so harsh to criticize their mm-hmm. motives. And not to say everything they did was great, mm-hmm. but I thought that if I could capture that kind of idea with these people, that would be effective. And so it's just a film project, really.
So the audience actually would be sitting on the step.
Exactly.
Hearing the story of this person in a very intimate, relational context.
Some great stories I have already. I have Dr. Ed Nelson, and I am going to be doing Dr. Les Ola next week, and Matthew Thomas, and I'm hoping to do several others. So hopefully all online and streaming video in about a month or two.
Well, we'll be excited to see it. I know many of our listeners will want to check out those videos. Is there a website that you have that they can go to?
It's on the process right now, so sorry. Okay. I wish I did.
Well, you can go to thewordforlife.org, www.thewordforlife.org, and as soon as we get news from you that you have this up, we'll be glad to post that so that our listeners can have an opportunity to hear and to see and to know what the Lord's doing in your life. You've been a blessing, and we're glad to have you back, and I know many of our listeners will be glad to have caught up with you. And that will wrap up our broadcast for the day. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.